Welcome to episode 20 of the Exposition Break podcast, your home for video game critiques, industry analysis, and entertainment. I'm Blake Foley. I'm joined by my co-host, Sean Gandert. And today we are here to talk about Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm all right. Again, you did want to put the... You did add the complete title into it. That implies to me that there's like several previous versions of Fall Guys. Like, this is the Street Fighter 2 Turbo Edition, Ultimate Knockout Edition, and that we're missing out on the original Fall Guys, which it's like 40 guys, and they don't really fall, and they, yeah.
Well, not to mention that Ultimate Knockout, I mean, just, it doesn't seem like the right subtitle for the game to me.
No, it's a bad... Fall Guys is a good name. Ultimate Knockout is a bad name.
Makes it sound like there's some boxing involved or something. More collision. I mean, there's collision in the game, but you know,
there's grabbing people right before they go to the very end. And, I lose. That's our primary topic, and you know, we probably do better as far as analytics go when we talk about obscure games, but Fall Guys is a weird thing to me. It's a game that was created on the assumption of it being a big game, which is, I find, kind of fascinating. Like, before it was released, there was the it's a game that fundamentally wouldn't work unless it was a massive success. Mm-hmm. So it's real strange in that way.
Yeah, I'm curious in what point in development it got greenlit as a PS Plus title, because I think that was kind of the key for its success. I mean, I'd be curious how well it has done on Steam. I mean, that's actually numbers that we can kind of find out had I done research ahead of this, but that's not my style. But yeah, like, I feel like, you know, PS Plus was key for the success of this, kind of like back with Rocket League, even though yes. Rocket League doesn't have the same player requirements, but a similar type of thing.
Yeah, and I think that those are kind of an interesting... Rocket League, I mean, this is definitely... I feel like it couldn't have existed had Rocket League not been a thing. It's a new type of... it's a different type of AAA game. It's a AAA game that is, I don't know what genre I want to even call it, but I feel like that with Rocket League. It's a hang out and have a bunch of people sort of game. And it is an interesting thing to me because the game part is real incidental in some ways. I guess we should talk about that, but mostly when I've played it, I've been like, yeah, I've been drinking. Hey, Blake's online. You want to do this? Yeah, sure. Does it matter that I've been drinking? No. Yeah, we're just chatting. Are we chatting about the game? Not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the fun thing about it, is it isn't very demanding on the player, like even less so than something like... Like, I mean, we've compared ourselves a lot to Mario Party, you know, yeah. And it's got a similar feel to like a Mario Party minigame, but is way less, like, it has less precision, like less to think about. and I mean that in a great way. I mean, it doesn't control well, but it doesn't need to. And the lack of control adds to the fun and frustration of just kind of how it walks a tightrope of, you know, being just on the edge of control but having it fall apart any moment.
I guess it's also one of those things where it's like we had to explain what the heck like Paratopic or Moon were. I feel like those are games where people don't know. Most people probably may not have played Fall Guys, but they would be at least peripherally involved, aware of it. In the same way, you probably haven't necessarily played Fortnite, but you probably know kind of what it is.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, for those that don't know, I mean, it's possible. Fall Guys is Wipeout, the TV show, but with 60 beans. I think they're beans. I think I read that somewhere.
Then why is it not called Fall Beans?
I don't know, but I think they're beans. Anyway, 60 of those running through a course that's very much like the Wipeout TV show, which was based off the Japanese TV show that something Castle. Do you know the name of it?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the actual name of it.
Okay, yeah. I keep wanting to say Howl's Moving Castle, and that's not that.
I wish it was based on that. But no, it's... Especially usually the first couple stages are running through an obstacle course. Then it's always 5 rounds. The later stages mix things up a little bit more because they can do more things when there's like only say 30 or 20 people in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they involve me jumping through a ring and failing, sometimes pushing a ball, sometimes, you know, a bunch of different little, they're slightly bigger than a Mario Party mini game, but definitely smaller than any sort of normal game.
Yeah. Yep, and yeah, your goal in the end is to be the last guy who hasn't fallen, I guess.
Which I don't think either of us have ever done.
No. Nope. I mean, we've both made it to the last round, which is not like the biggest achievement in the world. I think I watched...
I made it to the last 3 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I watched you make it to the last 3.
And then I fell in the lava acid and... Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the other funny thing about this game is like it's real easy to look at it and go, it's pretty random. There isn't much you can overcome with skill. But then you mm-hmm. watch certain streamers on Twitch and whatnot who are actually skilled, and it's pretty crazy. Like what they're doing doesn't look terribly different from what I'm doing, but then you watch them and they win regularly. Like Grand Pooh Bear is nuts.
Yeah, it is really weird to be like, wait, winning isn't just random? And no, it's not. And that would be part of the separation from Mario Party, is that despite it being so, I don't know, leisurely that I can drink it with a beer in one hand, and despite that factor, there's a lot of sense of accomplishment where at the end of a game of Mario Party it's like, I guess I won. I guess that's the thing that happened, but you don't feel like you earned it, you know?
No, but I mean but the reason for that is in Mario Party you can win every mini game and still lose the overall game because
get completely do terribly.
Yeah, skill like, skill doesn't matter at all in Mario Party, where it does actually matter in Fall Guys to an extent. So, you know, I feel like everyone has a chance in Fall Guys, but skill definitely does help. And some people have played a lot of Fall Guys.
I'm always amused when I see the people in it with like, I know that that's a really difficult to unlock outfit. and then they're like losing in the first round. I'm like, what? Are you a bot or what's your deal there? I don't know.
I mean, the thing is you can earn currency for every loss, even if you get knocked out first round, and you can also buy the currency if you're really hard up.
Yeah. Yep.
So you know,
it's got all the, you know, free to play sort of stuff.
But it's not free to play yet.
I think it will be.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, that's one of the pieces of news here, is that it was very recently in the past week or week and a half acquired by Epic. And
who are most famous for Fortnite.
Yes, most famous for Fortnite, but they also own Rocket League now. They're clearly making a land grab for popular, low barrier to entry online multiplayer things.
Yeah, I mean, Fall Guys is interesting to me. So over the quarantine period, there were two huge, you know, like Rocket League and Fortnite existed before, but I felt like COVID, there were two big things. One was Fall Guys, and then the other one was, what's it called? The stealth
Among
game.
Us.
Among Us.
Yeah.
And the barrier to entry of those two is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Among Us is very cool, but... I say this as a person who's really into board games that involve similar mechanics. They're so much more fun when you play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Fall Guys, I was like, how enjoyable is that on your own? And no, it's not the best thing, but it's still a lot easier to just screw around with on your own and have fun. I feel like Among Us, it just, I want to have Among Us with my D&D group, you know? That's basically, and so I don't feel like it can be that sort of super wide that Epic Games wants things to be.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it comes down to personalities too. Some people just don't mind hopping in with randos and playing a game like Among Us. That's not remotely interesting to me. Same with you. But yeah, no, I think you're right, is that, you know, they're looking for that low barrier to entry. And yeah, Among Us doesn't fit that in the same way. It doesn't mean I can't see Epic trying to acquire them at some point, but I don't think Among Us has the branding opportunities that like something like Fall Guys does. I mean, no. you look at Fortnite with its Marvel crossovers and Star Wars crossovers and basketball. I don't even know what's in the Fortnites.
Oh, but you're totally right. Like, it's very easy to go, all right, well, now Epic's deal involves Fortnite Marvel skins and Fall Guys skins for the next Marvel movie. And there's a, you know, it's the Burger King McDonald's toys of our generation, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's a fair point. No, exactly. And like, yeah, they'll someday, I'm guessing there's going to be a Thor skin, you know, for, you know.
And 100%.
That's going to be cool. Like, I think that'll actually be pretty sweet. So yeah, and I'm guessing a lot of that'll start to come. I mean, Epic hasn't announced any plans about free to play or anything like that, but they did that with Rocket League. I can't see why they wouldn't do it here as another means to just get people into their Epic Store ecosystem and whatnot. The question is what happens then with the Steam version, because I know the Rocket League stuff kind of had a weird, messy migration. Maybe not messy in the actual process, but fans were unhappy as they had
at this point. But that was also at a different point in Epic. Mm-hmm. Like, Epic as a didn't quite know what they're doing. B, for a long time, gamers were really down on Epic Store and all of their stuff. And admittedly, it lacks some smoothness of Steam. But
does it have a shopping cart yet?
I believe it does.
Does it? Okay, good. Anyway.
But like, it's just, it's finally been around for a long enough time. People are used to it and kind of accept it as part of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Versus when they first got Rocket League, I feel like, I don't know, there was the messiness, but also there was just a weird animosity.
Yeah, I mean, people like to worship at the Church of Valve. Mm-hmm. And you know, you and I have talked about it in the past, you know, the competition's good for everybody. So it's good for me, it's good for you and Epic. And this is an anecdote. I don't know the exact details of it, but looking at Hades, when Hades was originally released in early access on the Epic Store, and a year later at release, or a little longer than a year later, I'm sure, it came out on the Steam store, and apparently it sold way, way, way more on the Steam store, but that's like shows more proof that Epic still has a lot of ground to make up compared to Steam. So, you know, and I think Fall Guys is the kind of thing that'll help as people, you know, they go free to play, you get it on that store, you know, and frankly, I'd love to play it on the PC.
Again, it feels like that's inevitable. Like, those things are coming, and that's just a good thing. I'm not saying that Fall Guys has a great or even radically different from like Fortnite aesthetic, but I kind of dislike Fortnite a lot. So I'm just happy for more options for like the super big things, in the same way that one of the best things, maybe the best thing that ever happened to, you know, my big free to play thing, Hearthstone, is the existence of Magic the Gathering Arena and Slay the Spire. Like, those are the best things that happened to Hearthstone, is making the game innovate as a result of those. And I feel like that's cool. It's a game I don't think that we will particularly, like, going to turn into lifestyle game people for this.
No.
But
I mean, you and I never way, went for just about, no, I can't think of a game though.
For any.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess one thing we're thinking about talking a little bit about later is Remnant from the Ashes. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually both quite like the multiplayer for that, but due to how our lives and other things, and frankly, like, a lot of the time when you are able to do online gaming with me, it lately has been like D&D. Mm-hmm. You don't have infinite time, and so that ends up being the thing. But so we don't get to go back to Remnant from the Ashes that often. If we don't play Fall Guys for 6 months, and then we're like, and then I just text you and like, hey, you want to have a beer and play Fall Guys? You'll probably be like, yeah, why not? Like,
yeah, no, there's totally.
There's zero barrier for entry, and that is a nice thing.
Yeah, and like, even if it ends up being a 15-minute session of Fall Guys, that's not a wasted session. Whereas, you know, 15 yeah. minutes of Remnant from the Ashes might as well have never even just booted up the system. And there's definitely a niche for that of like, okay, you can hop in and hop out just depending as, you know, what kind of time you have available. I'm not saying I'd hop in knowing I have 15 minutes, but... you know, if something comes up, yeah, that's okay. I go, all right, cool, later.
I was playing it the other day before dinner, and Heather's like, why would you start that, right? Because they're like, I don't know, it's an indefinite 10 to 30 minute period, and I don't mind quitting at any point.
Exactly, like, yep.
And she's like, well, you're just going to have to stop then. And it's like, okay. Whatever.
Yep.
It truly does not matter to me.
Yeah. No, and that's definitely its appeal, is just it's, you know, it's lightweight. I mean, I think you and I get something. We talked about it, and this is a good topic to get into. So you had mentioned you found, like, I think, forget the word you originally used for it, but then you kind of amended it. But I think you had said relaxing, maybe.
It's a thing I kind of find relaxing because it's so mindless, you know, like you have very simple goals, and I don't have to think too much ahead. I don't have to really puzzle solve or anything. At the same time, when my wife saw it, she's like, this is the most stressful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, that's the funny thing about it is, like, I actually do find it pretty stressful. It's all short and, like, it's low impact as far as, like, the actual stakes, but the moment to moment I do find kind of stressful, mm-hmm. of like the ticking clock element for one, as you know mm-hmm. you can see the counter of people that have made it across the finish line, and that, like, stress of like, am I gonna make it? And you know, ultimately it's not a big deal if you don't. And then it also triggers a bit of a, like, crowd claustrophobia stress thing for me sometimes, as people are just like,
oh, at the beginning of a thing and just everyone's knocking you off.
Mm-hmm. yeah and I have nightmares about that, so yeah.
I do realize that while I play, I swear a lot. It's kind of like when I'm driving in that way, where I don't do that much in my normal life, but it seems to come out during Fall Guys.
Spelunky.
Yeah, I think that there's something where I find those. Yeah, actually, with Spelunky, in some ways, it's so moment to moment in a lot of Spelunky.
Mm-hmm.
It's different for me when I have like very specific goals in mind for Spelunky versus if I just like sit down for the daily challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, all right, I'm gonna run through. But there's a it's not relaxing, but it allows me to unwind in a certain way, I think, because of the mindlessness. And I don't know, there might be a relationship with driving. My wife also hates driving, but for me, I have an appreciation for when I'm driving that I don't have other things to think about very much. Like, I'm not checking my email while I'm driving. I'm not doing all these other, I'm not multitasking. And especially with my job nowadays, where I'm always being called and have like four different tasks I have to do at any moment, it's really nice for me to be like, what I gotta do? I gotta run forward. Cool. That's it.
And jump through this fan blade.
Or fail to jump through the flambé and get hit over a fence.
Go center. Always go center.
Never go center.
So like, you know, one of the notes we have here, and we've mentioned it, Mario Party versus Mario and Mario Kart, I think we also have written here, is like, this is, it's such a, we talked about innovation, and like, this is something that Nintendo should be and never will, in my opinion, pay attention to. Because it's real easy. Like, it's, I don't want to sit and theory craft a new, you know, Nintendo game, but it's the fact that it is so easy to see how you can take multiple Mario, or sorry, multiple Nintendo IP and drop them into a similar model of Fall Guys. Not the same gameplay, but just this, you know, kind of season mentality, this live game, low stakes, just hop in, hop out kind of thing with Mario Kart or Mario Party or anything of the sort. It is just, you know, I hate bagging on Nintendo every time, but God, I really wish they could like wake up and see this kind of thing and do it with their properties.
Oh yeah, so much. I mean, one of the things, my favorite things about Fall Guys is that when you load the game on the front menu, you press one button to go into a game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that seems like that should be a Miyamoto thing that he's into, but it's not how any of their online stuff works. And it allows that short session, not jumping through a bunch of screens, just hitting the play button.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no, in Mario Kart, every time I play Mario Kart, I gotta select my rider, gotta select my cart, gotta select my tires, gotta select my glider, like none of this.
No, just save my default and just let me hit play. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I could imagine Mario Kart with like seasons of content and like new courses and like anyway, now I'm just sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, we want to see it maybe one day,
but then they announced Splatoon 3, and it's like, why?
Yeah. No, they don't get it. And it makes me glad that other people are making kind of the colorful, family-friendly sort of thing that you'd think of as a Nintendo thing, and doing it well in a way that Nintendo isn't. I agree. I want them to pay attention. We know that somehow they're not. So
yeah, and I think that does touch though on what something that Fall Guys fails at that Nintendo does well regularly is there's no local fun option for Fall Guys. There isn't an option to be together with your buddies and have beers and just play Fall Guys together, and that's actually pretty darn disappointing. I understand that there's probably technical restrictions around that make it real hard to do.
Still annoying.
Yeah, it'd still be great to sit down and, you know, have a beer with three of your other buddies doing a four-player split screen with people online, or, you know, something along those lines.
It's part of, I think, why it feels so pandemic-y to me.
Yeah,
it's like, it is so about having a ton of people online on their own, in a way that, like, Nintendo's online is always grudging. You can sense that they want you to be on the couch together, even when you're like, no, they live in the other country. But Nintendo's like, but it would be a better experience. Fine, we'll let you do it, but download our phone app and run through AOL.
Yep, run through AOL, 1998 servers, and yeah, no, it is such a funny thing, because you're right, Nintendo always feels so grudgingly against. I mean, Nintendo has always been kind of against people enjoying things on their terms. Yes. Whereas Nintendo's like, no, you're gonna play this on our terms, motherfucker. it's such a weird thing, and it's you see it in control schemes. They're like, no, this, you're gonna play with this weird control scheme. Screw you. You know, accessibility be damned. We know what's best.
One of the other, I think this is more or less the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is, I would love to get information about market share, particularly in 2020, of games like Among Us or Fall Guys, Rocket League, Fortnite, Dota, versus phone games. because I feel like it's a different casual space that has kind of overtaken what was like 5 years ago. The ultimate casual experience is like Bejeweled still, or whatever came, I never played that.
I mean, I think that was actually a point I was going to bring up too, is like part of Fortnite's success though, and part of Among Us's success is they're on phones.
Mm-hmm. And that is true.
I think I don't have the numbers, but I think a big portion of people play on those platforms. I can't remember. I sent you an article earlier this week, actually, about I wish I remember the details, but it was basically someone mocking the, it might have been the Switch version of something. It was the Apex. Yes.
It was Apex Legends on Switch.
Apex Legends on Switch. And it was Polygon or Kotaku griping about the quality of the port. Now, the quality of the port does sound like it's pretty bad, but the tone of the article itself was like, why would anybody do this? Why would anybody play it like this? This is stupid. And the fact of the matter is a lot of players are willing to play a game in a, you know, suboptimal fashion just to be able to play it. People play Fortnite on their phones, and I can't imagine that's even close to the most optimal way to play that game. And you know, people don't mind. And I have to imagine, you know, it's probably Epic is probably looking and going, hey, can we get Fall Guys onto a phone?
And Epic is good at that. They will succeed. Like, as much as I don't care for Fortnite, I think the level of netcode that things like Fortnite have is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty stunning what, like, the technical side of what Epic does is pretty amazing. It was part of why I was interested when, you know, it was Devolver who put out Fall Guys before, and I was like, my head is like, they can do that? Like, I didn't know they had the ability, because it is really friggin' hard to do the technical side of doing a 100-person streaming match that can run on a phone. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily what I think of as, like, it's not the artistically amazing to me in the way like a Metal Gear Solid game would be, but it is technically amazing. And I am very impressed by that side of like Fortnite in a way that I will never be impressed with like the actual game.
Fortnite's the game that makes me feel old. I mean, that's kind of it. And part of that is, yeah, just kind of the, I don't know, there's a lot to that, so we don't need to dissect that here. But
One day we should do a totally uninformed podcast about Fortnite just to see if we can get some hate mail, because there's like 100% chance that random people would find a podcast if we label it Fortnite.
Fortnite Raps. It'll be on Spotify. Like Fortnite Rap.
And it'll get a lot of downloads from people who have played like 20,000 hours and be like, they don't know what they're talking about. And I'll be like, yes, I do not.
I do not. And I'm okay with it.
And I'm not going to change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing about Fall Guys, though, you talk about the net code and like it's at a cool point here where, you know, Fortnite for its success is still there's a very direct line from PlayerUnknown's of Battlegrounds. It's just it's a Me Too game that happened to take off in a way, at least in the US, that Battlegrounds didn't. Now, Battlegrounds was a huge success here in the US too, but not in the way Fortnite has been. But it's still very much a similar kind of game. It has the building aspect of it, but it's still a elimination shooter. 100 people drop in, one survives. And it's cool now to start seeing that formula coming out in other games like Fall Guys, like Tetris 99 on Nintendo's part, which is kind of a weird innovative thing from Nintendo. So while they're not like looking at their core franchises and doing the right thing, they are looking at some things and figuring out a way to make it work, just in the weirdest places, because they gotta be weird. But I'm excited to see how the battle royale genre continues to evolve now that we have the netcode to support that kind of experience.
Yeah, I would like to. One of the exciting things about like Rocket League and Fall Guys to me are being super popular games that aren't about murder.
Yeah. Nope. Totally.
And it is a
Among it us, is kind all of a, about murder.
It actually is.
Yeah.
You know, I think Among Us is such a cool game, but I want to play it as like in an old school LAN party. And at that point in time, my brain goes, why am I not just playing like Werewolf? Mm. So I don't know. I've got some stuff. As we near one day getting vaccine, I'm like, I got to show you Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. It's kind of like, got some real cool stuff along those sides. But then I'm like, oh, why would I play Among Us if I could do it while like looking directly at people?
Right.
So,
yeah. And drinking a beer.
Yep.
And yeah. Exactly. I think that's about it for Fall Guys. You've been playing a lot of stuff because we haven't recorded in a bit, including returning to a game I actually didn't think you ever would and beating it, which is Control.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Control was the PS Plus game for February. I had originally played through it on PC and rage uninstalled it because I was getting very frustrated with the game. After those days, they patched it in multiple ways. They added more checkpoints, and they also added some accessibility assist features that made me want to revisit it. But I also, there's enough going on in that game that I kind of wanted to start it over rather than pick up my save on PC. As it turns out, I was actually like an hour and a half away from the end of the game on PC, which was a little painful to realize. But at any rate, the other thing was the PS5 version had some ray tracing in it that my PC couldn't do. So it was cool to see Control's ray tracing in the work. And I gotta say, ray tracing is pretty freaking awesome. The game itself, I mean, I think someday we'll probably do a Control episode when you get around to playing it.
I want to play it. I just don't feel like, and this... Having read enough about it when the game first came out, playing it on a basic PlayStation 4, not like a PlayStation 4 Pro or anything, seems like a bad way.
Yes, and that's everything I've heard is like it runs like garbage on base PS4s. And so, yeah, you're right to wait on that. What I will say is like it's definitely worth playing. I think there's things in it you'll enjoy. Use the assists because the combat is... The combat's hard and not in an interesting way. Like you always feel like a hair away from like dying, and that's kind of cool, but you know, after 8 hours of it, you kind of get sick of it, and the game sure loves to throw kind of the devil may cry, the doors are covered up and you need to kill room these guys, and then the doors will open again at you. You know, it feels like random encounters in a JRPG when you're just trying to do a block puzzle. You know, like there's lots of moments like that where you're, you know, you're not pushing blocks, but you get the point where you're just like, okay, I know what I need to do. Oh crap, come on. You know.
So. Yeah. Kind of along the lines of Control, because you were not you're not a very big fan of the developer. But the one game that they made in the past that I've been like, it seems kind of interesting is Alan Wake. Mm-hmm. And I do have that, and for PlayStation Plus at some point, you know, and I've been like, maybe I should check that out. Probably runs quite well. You played that one, right?
I played probably half of it. And I ran into the same problem with it that I did kind of in Control, is like it had too much of a love for its combat that I just didn't have. The combat failed to evolve over time short of just longer encounters, and I don't like long encounters in games. I like shorter, more interesting encounters. And I eventually just burned out on it. And like, I really liked what was going on story-wise. And that's generally true of my, you know, experience with Remedy, is I like what they're doing from a atmosphere and story perspective. I just don't have fun playing their games. And I'd love to go back to Alan Wake someday, but I need to like either mod it or turn the difficulty way down or something.
Gotcha.
And it's not, and I want to say, like, if people are like, oh, is it too hard for you? Like, it's not. Like, I almost beat Control on the normal difficulty when, you know, it was tricky. It's just I got tired of dealing with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about game difficulty is realizing that games, in most cases, your goal is to just enjoy that, you know, and take it in the way that gives you the most enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't enjoying it on the normal difficulty, then like, quote, toughing it out on that, like, I don't know. I don't understand why that would be like a badge of honor. I really didn't enjoy that last 4 hours, but I wasted my life anyhow.
Right. It's like, it's just some games I'm there for the difficulty, some games I'm not. And, you know, a Remedy game is rarely a game that I'm there for the difficulty on. And, you know, it's just not. Whereas, you know, I like playing Halo on the harder difficulties. I find that interesting, but just didn't here.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing, is that doesn't seem to be the best part of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And fine. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the Alan Wake was the one thing they did before. It's like, that seemed like it could be pretty cool. But I probably put it on easy mode and go that way.
Yeah, Alan Wake's cool. And maybe that is a thing where someday we both go, all right, let's play some Alan Wake. And mm-hmm. I think that could be an actually interesting way to do that, because I think there's things to enjoy in it. It's very much inspired by like Stephen King. It's got some cool characters. I think your wife would actually enjoy some of it with some of her interests. There's a character, this is just one thing I like part of the whole theme of Alan Wake is like things that happen in the darkness, and there is a character that wraps himself in Christmas lights to keep the darkness away from him. That's pretty fun. I like that. So anyway,
that is fun. And it's one of those things that I missed that felt like it could be up my alley, and haven't gone back. The other things you have listed, two of them seem kind of Twin Peaksy. There's Deadly Premonition, which I know I need to play at some point, as we've talked about it a fair amount elsewhere. But then also Kentucky Route Zero.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky Route Zero. I got it on Switch a while back, and like, I like it quite a bit. It's like, I can't help but weirdly compare it to Paratopic, but in like a good way. Like, it manages to capture mood and like atmosphere really well. It seems much more cohesive, and like, it's telling a story, but it still has that kind of vagueness. And like, I can totally see getting to the end and finding it like not very satisfying, but it is kind of one of those things that seems to be about the journey and less about the destination. But it is kind of, it's a world where you're kind of coming across a bunch of weird stuff, and I'm only through the first chapter, which I think was the very first part that came out, like, because it was released episodically, and I assume it was released
over a long period,
like, yeah, 5 years or maybe more. And I just finished what I think was the first part that was released, and you know, it seems really neat. I like it quite a bit. It seems, looking at like part two, I'm suddenly a different character and stuff, so I'm curious where it's going. But tonally, I really enjoy it. It seems like, you know, in part one, at the very least, you're not a trucker, but you're someone, you know, trying to find an interstate. And like, I can't help but play it and think a whole bunch about a semi driver listening to Art Bell, you know, driving across the country kind of thing, if that makes sense. That's the mood it gives me when I play it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in... Lately, you're playing a lot of games. I'm like, I should... those are all more up my alley versus Valheim, where every time you describe it, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, no, Valheim is not something that you should play. Like, I think you and I could have fun running around for an evening in Valheim, but...
Yeah, but then that, on my own...
Yeah, no. No. No, like, Valheim's cool. Valheim is very much one of those games. I think it does a lot of things smarter than most survival stick-and-stone games. But in the end, those games are for you, or they're not, for the most part. I will say I've gotten, like, one touchstone that I think you can maybe relate to is... Like, two nights ago when I was playing it, I had to move. I think I told you I was going to do it. I had to move my house, which is, you know, kind of a weird, tedious process. But I was able to make a wagon. And, like, I broke down a bunch of things and I loaded it into my wagon and I strapped my wagon to my hips. And I was just trudging across the map. And suddenly it just felt like I was playing Death Stranding, which was kind of fun in its own way. But yeah, beyond that, not a game for you. Not at all.
I mean, you've played like 20 hours or so in it?
Yeah, about 17 hours or so. What I will say is, for, you know, people that maybe some things that might help someone that have been liked the genre but found it frustrating is... I think it does some smart things that make it stand apart, and that's a reason why it's so successful, is things like the, you know, in a lot of survival games, if you get hungry, your health starts draining and you eventually die. In this, you have low health if you're hungry, but you'll never die from it. Instead, you're constantly just adding to your health by eating. So it's a minor change, but it makes it feel very different. Mm-hmm. Things like when you break down something that you've built, you get all the resources back. So there's never anything lost.
Oh, that sounds nicer on your time, for sure.
Exactly. Like, if I had to, you know, like, the whole breaking down my house thing to move it thing was mostly just like, okay, I can knock all this down and take it with me, and nothing's lost. And, like, because in any other game, like, I would have gone, okay, well, I'm done now. I just, you know, those are the kinds of points where I break off, and eventually I'll break off. Like, I also get a similar vibe to, like, when I'm playing Harvest Moon or Story of Seasons or Stardew Valley. It scratches a similar itch of just kind of, you know, doing a routine, going out and hitting your mining spots and all that kind of stuff. Except for now, there's a giant troll in the forest that's trying to crush me, and that's not fun, but, you know.
And then my final thing, I have this note for you, is that you're not playing Demon's Souls. What's up with that? That was actually, I think I said on the last time I recorded, I was like, we'll do our next one on Demon's Souls. And then you haven't finished it, so I'm like...
Nah, I need to get back into Demon's Souls. I mean, it goes back to what we were saying about Fall Guys, is, you know, Fall Guys has been, it's easy to jump in and out of. Demon's Souls, it's not easy to have a 15-minute session in Demon's Souls. No. And, you know, granted, I just said I've put, you know, 17 hours into Valheim, but at the same time, I can quit Valheim really easily and set it down and pick it up and set it down and pick it up. Demon's Souls, when I'm playing Demon's Souls, I want to be playing Demon's Souls in a way that those other games, you know, I can kind of have one foot in, one foot out, whereas Demon's Souls requires more attention than your average game, I think. And plus, goddamn man-eater boss, man. So, I need to finish it, and will, but we'll talk next time.
I hope we keep saying that through 2021.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. I mean, I can't say very much because I haven't been playing anything.
I mean, you played some of The Witness.
I played a few hours and then I got angry at it.
Did you watch that video I sent you?
I agreed very much with them.
Yeah. Dragon Adventure thing. What's the Dragon Adventure?
I can't think of the name of that game.
Dragon Adventure.
Putting it like right before we record.
King's Quest?
King's Quest. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I was very excited about King's Quest for a while. I started playing that, and the production values are amazing. Had a very nice, is very much Monkey Island in a medieval world.
Okay.
But with higher production values, honestly, like better animation, better art, better, way expensive voice acting by like Christopher Lloyd.
That's right. I forgot he was in that. Okay. Yep.
Oh yeah. He's a big part, him and, Wallace Shawn, which was interesting. So it seemed like it hit everything, and I would played like 5-6 hours, and I hit some puzzles where the game gave me dialogue where my character is like, that would have been a good solution to the puzzle. It isn't what I did, though. And then I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, that is one of the more irritating things. Like, there's some puzzles. It hit the issue of moon logic, like, which is always one of those issues with adventure games. It's like, there is a logical way to do this, and the game says, no, that isn't right, because that isn't what the designer wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. And considering it is an episodic game, you oftentimes, and I've played actually a lot of like Telltale episodic adventure games, you'll get those things like 3-4 episodes in as they're trying to up the difficulty. But seeing that in the first episode, like 5 hours in, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. And I think it was even more insulting to me when the game was like, no, this is a good idea. I'm just not going to let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the other things that can be very irritating with adventure games, is when it's like, well, if you can't acknowledge that that would be a solution, or it should be a solution. Like, those are kind of opposed.
Mm-hmm.
So I got very angry at that, and I quit it.
That's fair. But, I mean, but 5 hours is actually pretty lengthy for the first episode of
a, oh, yeah, they're thing. Long episodes. They're like 6 hours per episode.
Jeez. That just seems like too much of an adventure game anyway to me.
But, you know, I am fine with that, because even that one is divided up into like 3 acts, like 3 2-hour acts. It's very easy to go, all right, well, I played through this part, I played through this part, and move on. It was really a matter of me hating the actual puzzle design. And I am not the best adventure player, but I have played a lot of adventure games in my life. And I know it can be hard to explain what makes for a good puzzle and what doesn't, but generally speaking, if there is an intuitive solution, that should be the right thing. Like, otherwise it always just feels like a brick wall.
Yeah.
A good adventure puzzle, you'll start doing the intuitive solution, and then something else will be a twist. But this, there was no twist. It was literally the game going, nah, I just don't want you to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I said screw it. And then for a few weekends, I was like, well, I'm going to try some of these random indie things that I have through PlayStation Plus for years of subscribing. And I just go through and I download half a dozen and play them until I find something I like a lot. A few of the things I got pretty into were shmups, weirdly. And one of them was like did you ever play Defender, for instance?
Yep.
One of the things that I played, there's a Defender remake, basically. Let me see if I can find the name real fast. It was like Destructoid or something. I played like 5 hours of it.
Nice.
I'm just going through all these different levels of that, and then playing through different random indie shmups has been an enjoyable thing because I kind of will play them for a day or for 2 days and then go, you know what? All right. And then I deleted it. I got what I wanted out of them. And that was always my issue with shmups when I was growing up, is that like, I'd have a lot of fun with them for a few hours. And then I'd be like, but that's the entire game. And it costs like $50. But with like a subscription or like buying them on Steam for $3 or something, I don't feel bad about it. I can just be like, well, play that for the weekend, and that was perfectly good. So, God, it's driving me crazy what the name of that one I played is.
I don't think this is the one you played, but if you liked something Defender-like, you should play Resogun.
I have it downloaded, actually.
Okay, you should play Resogun, because Resogun is another Defender clone, but it's actually pretty darn good.
Oh, nice. So. Yeah, I have that downloaded. It's in my next batch of random past things where it's just like, I should really see. It's a weird thing. Sometimes they're real bad, sometimes they're good. But just kind of going back and seeing what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only other stuff. And then I've been playing a lot of role-playing games. Still D&D, Starfinder, Deltagrind. We should be playing again on Monday, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited to catch up with everyone. I missed the last session, so.
Yeah, and a lot happened.
A lot happened.
Even though it seemed like a lot of the time was spent arguing about hotels. But
wait, was there more arguing about hotels?
There's always more arguing about hotels. I don't know. Gotcha. Somehow that's one of the party's main concerns, is how nice their hotel is or isn't.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait for that. So I think some things that are maybe on the horizon, you tell me. Another game I listed but don't have anything, or I didn't list but did just recently finish, was Silent Hill 2. I finished a replay of that.
I do have that. I have that downloaded. I just keep on, like, I might play that tomorrow. Part of it has been, like, my Friday and Saturday nights for a long time have been playing role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a game like Silent Hill. I like playing horror games at night.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I know also, like, with work being stressful, Silent Hill 2 is really heavy. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. So, yeah, I'm curious, you know, if you do get into it, what you think, and maybe that'll be an episode. So, upcoming episodes, I'm going to say them now. Demon's Souls and Silent Hill 2.
I'm excited about Silent Hill. I mean, I got it running on my computer. It just then, yeah, it's a thing where I don't want to play it at, like, a lot of the time when I have been playing these things, it's like random PlayStation things. It's been in the afternoon of like a Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, to me, a Silent Hill time.
No, that's not a Silent Hill too. Yeah. True.
So I want to play it at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and then get freaked out when my cat jumps behind me. That's a good horror game experience.
It is a good horror game experience. That is, cats are not good for that.
No.
So I think that covers just about everything. So I think there's a few things that we should plug really quickly. You've been hard at work writing a decent amount of content for the site. People should check out your A Walk Through the Plains series. You've got 7 parts now, it looks like. Or sorry, 6, yeah, 6 plus an interview. But I still need to read that interview, so I'm going to do that.
Well, it's not the world's most interesting interview. It was just me literally going, hey, this is like a really big part of Planescape. And it just came up with by this random guy who was an employee for the company TSR for like less than 2 years. What? No one knew who the guy was. No one had ever talked to him about it. And so I was like, I wonder if I could find him. He still plays D&D, so I found his old, never updated website and said, would you talk to me about it? He said, yeah, sure. So it was an interesting thing. It made me it was a reminder that, like, with video games, even like an indie game, you know, like a badly selling indie game could still sell like 10,000 copies and it could be harder to reach the person. And they also deal with a lot of harassment and such. Mm. But like a lot of role-playing games, 10,000 copies would be very successful for a lot of role-playing games. And they're very easy to get in contact with the people. I don't know. I think role-playing games, board games and such, the designers are just not remotely celebrities. They're just enthusiasts. You know, mm. the people who made them are generally, they're just excited about the medium. They're excited about that sort of thing. So it reminded me I should reach out on more of that sort of thing in the future. And like, yeah, I don't know. As I get to, again, one day get vaccinated and can do things in person, it's like, oh yeah, after I really enjoy a board game, I should reach out to the creator, because they aren't inundated with interviews. They're not Bobby Kotick. They're like a random dude who, yeah, but they're a random dude who made a game in their garage. They're a random woman who just likes birds. People might know I'm talking about Wingspan there. But yeah, it's kind of a different sort of thing. I've been enjoying writing these just for myself. And one day, 10 years from now, there will be a person who is as interested in Planescape as I am, and they will find a like load of content exists in a weird niche of the internet, and I'm cool with that.
Sweet. Sweet.
Gotta have a quarantine hobby.
You do. No, that's totally true. That's totally true. And no, people should check that out. Expositionbreak.com. It's great stuff. We also, on the note of Silent Hill, since our last recording, did a playthrough of PT that people should check out, because it's definitely the only one out there that they can watch.
Definitely. I don't know how we got that exclusive.
I don't know either. Like, but it, people should check it out. It's also a, you know, perfect no kill run. So
it weirdly is.
Like,
yeah, somehow through clearly skill.
If PT was an esport, we won.
Yep. Yeah. I need to play Silent Hill 2. I feel like we're both in the mood for getting more into Konami stuff again. So yeah, we might do some more stuff with that and the Metal Gear stuff, Silent Hill in the future. Man, that company was good.
Yeah. I mean, Castlevania, like, God, like three of my favorite franchises were Konami.
What anyway. A good company.
Yeah. Damn it, they suck. Anyway. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. You can visit expositionbreak.com for our written content. You can follow us on Twitter at Exposition Break. Send questions or comments to podcast@expositionbreak.com. I want to thank Icefields for the use of our theme music, Scenic Route. You can find his music on SoundCloud. The Exposition Break podcast can be found on Anchor, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Amazon Music, and more. Look on your favorite platform. I think it might be there. Sean, thank you so much for joining me, and I can't wait to circle up again in the future to talk about Demon's Souls and Silent Hill.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Have a good one.